Since Chazal say that lefum tzara agra, so whatever the quality of this Divrei Torah is going to be, it's magnified very much by the time and day. And therefore, I would like to dedicate the schus of the Divrei Torah le'ili nishmas, my uncle, whose yortzeit is today, Feivel ben Yaakov Moshe, and also as a schus that the soldiers who have been taken into captivity should be protected and returned to their homes safely soon. Okay, what I'm going to do today is give out Shirayim. This is the Litvisha kind of Shirayim that's given out on Shavuot B'Tammuz. And contemplating what I can possibly say that I haven't said in the past, I don't know how many years since this has been going on, how many different topics in Kiruv there could possibly be. But then I remember that every year I never got to finish what I had wanted to say that year. And I looked back over the years and found the Shirayim from all those Shiurim. And this year I've picked some Inyonim that have a connection one to the other. And the next year you'll get Shirei Shirayim of what I can't complete this year. Many people see the quest for self-perfection, steiging, aliyah in Torah, mitzvahs, yirah shamayim, personally, conflicting with a person's responsibility to influence and be mashpia and be makariv others. And because they see it as a conflict, somehow in resolving conflicts, something has to suffer. The truth is that these two areas are not conflicting at all. They are complementary and supplementary. First of all, being mashlim other people is not a stira to being mashlim yourself. In fact, being mashlim other people is hashlamas atzmi. That in itself is self-perfection. There's a mi'iri in Bava Kamma. The Gemara says over there that when a person gives a hesped, so he has to say the truth. You can't make up things about the person who was nifter that he never did. If he was a miser, you can't say he was a big bal tzedakah, both because it's sheker, and also since the neshama of the nifter is there, when you say the hesped, it's a tremendous tzar for him, both because in olam ha'emes to hear shkarim is like rubbing your nails on a chalkboard. And secondly, the nifter says, if the only good things they can think about me are lies, that means there's nothing true to say about me, which is also a tsar for the nifter. So you can't lie. You can exaggerate, because you don't know the extent of that person's midos. And if he gave tzedakah, you can say he was a big bal tzedakah, because maybe there are things that he did privately that you're not aware of. But lying, you're not allowed to lie. So the Gemara says there, Lil Lomad Amrinon. In the time of Chazal, you could assume that every Jew learned Torah. And therefore, you're allowed, a person who doesn't know what to say, doesn't know the person well, can assume that he learned Torah and he can say it in the Hesped. But Limeid Lo Amrinon. But the fact that he taught others, that you can't say, because not everybody, and here's what the Miri adds, Lo hakol masigim oso shleimus lelamed acherim. Not everybody reaches that individual perfection that he's able to teach others. It's mashma that teaching others is not just being mashlim them, but it's a shleimus atzmi. It's a shleimus that a person reaches to be able to reach out and to teach and to influence other people. So kiruv hashlomas acherim lelamed is no conflict with self-perfection, because it is, in fact, self-perfection. The other way is also true. Chazal tell us, Moshe Zocha v'zikes harabim. First, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be Zocha for himself. He had to become Moshe Rabbeinu. And then only after he had what to offer was he able to be Mezakes harabim. People who rush into Kiruv before they have what to offer are not doing anybody any service. You have to be tofeach al menas latfiach. If you are wet enough to make something else wet, then you can be makar of other people. But if you yourself don't know too much and are not too much of a gavra, then what kind of hashpah, what kind of kiruv can you give to other people? The Gemara says that on the Pasuk, V'yata Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, Ki Im Liyira. So the Gemara in Brachas says, V'chi Yira Shamayim Milsa Zutra Sahi. Yira Shamayim is such a small thing that Chazal can say, Mo Hashem Elokecha Ki Im. What is the Rabbanu Shel Olam? Just Yira Shamayim. Is Yira Shamayim such a small, insignificant thing that Chazal can, that the Torah can speak about it in such a way? Gemara says it, L'gabi Moshe Rabbeinu Milsa Zutra Sahi. L'gabi Moshe Rabbeinu, Yira Shamayim was a small thing. So all the Mefarshim answer the obviously same question. But Moshe Rabbeinu was not being talked to by the Rabbanu Shalom. The Rabbanu Shalom was addressing Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu. So who cares if Yira Shamayim was a small thing to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it wasn't a small thing to Klal Yisrael. And the Mefarshim explained that in a door where there was a Moshe Rabbeinu, that to him, Yira Shamayim was a small thing, then that was Mashpi on the door, and to the door it was also a small thing. The greater you are, the more you're Zoche for yourself, the more you can be Mezakeh Harabim. The greater knowledge you have, the greater person you are, the more Yira Shamayim you are, the more Hashpah you're going to have on other people. They say that the ideal way of being Mashpia is not to pour from what you know into somebody else, but to overflow, to fill yourself so much that you overflow. And a cup that overflows can fill many, many other cups. And it doesn't lose anything itself. The more you learn, the more you shteig in Torah, in Yerushamayim, in Midos Tovos, the more you're going to be able to overflow into other people. An empty cup, whether it's in English or in Yiddish, is not going to fill anybody else's cup, whether it's in English or in Yiddish. In addition to that, hashpa, kiruv, really depends on how clear things are to you. And things only become clear if you learn. And you become a gavra rabba. And you make things strong within yourself. It's a very difficult ravid in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zorah. The Rambam traces the source of Avodah Zorah and how it evolved. And he ends with, until Avram Avinu came on the scene and he changed everything. And the Ravid asks, Avram Avinu was Mashpia, he went out, and he was Kori B'Shem Hashem, and he was Mashpia on people, and he broke the Tzlamim. That was how the Rambam describes the greatness of Avram Avinu. Says the Ravid, I don't understand. Weren't there other tzaddikim, Shem, Aver, great tzaddikim? They also lived in those times. Didn't they protest the Avodah Zarah? Didn't they break the Tzlamim? Why weren't they chosen? Says the Ravid, of course they protested. And they would have broken the Tzlamim. They couldn't find them. The Avodah Zarah hid their Avodah Zarah from the Tzadikim of the door, and they weren't able to find it and break it. But Avram Avinu found the Tzlamim, and he therefore was able to break them. That's made him special. Very difficult, Ravid. First of all, as the Keset Mishnah says over there, who were the Ovdei Avodah Zarah hiding their Avodah Zarah from? The whole world were Ovdei Avodah Zarah except for Yechidim. They served Avodah Zarah b'farhesia. They weren't hiding it from anybody. So it was so hard to find Tzlamim to break. And secondly, comes out according to the Ravid, what was the godless of Avram Avinu? He was a good detective. That's it. He found the Tzlamim nobody else could find. He wasn't even such a good detective. His father happened to have a Tzlamim business. So he followed him to work one day, found all these Tzlamim and broke them. It was no big deal. That's the greatness of Avram Avinu. He could find things that other people couldn't find. What does that mean? Bekitzer, I think what the Ravid means is the following. The Rambam describes how Avodah Zarah started as a frum mistake. That people thought that they should honor the things that the Rabbanu Shel Olam honors. And that's Kavod Hashem. Cholkin kovod leTalmid, b'makom harav, or shalom b'makom harav at least. You give kovod to the emissaries of the king. That's covered for the king. And then it evolved and became real Avodah Zarah. But it started with a mistake, and Dor Enosh. And Enosh himself was part of the ones who made the mistake, says the Rambam. So the truth is that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah didn't hide their Avodah Zarah in a basement. They hid it behind a facade of Frumkeit. They said, this isn't Avodah Zarah, this is Kavod Hashem. Why it wasn't Kavod Hashem is for a different shiur, not for here. But for whatever reason, they made a terrible mistake. And that terrible mistake deteriorated into real Avodah Zarah and forgetting the Rabbanu Shem completely. But they did it behind the facade of Tzidkus. We are trying to honor the Rabbanu Shalom. And no one from all those generations could expose the Avodah Zarah for what it was. They hid it behind the facade of Tzidkus. And all the other Gedolei Olam couldn't expose it for what it was. There was an irbuv of Choshech and Or. That's why the period before Avram Avinu was called Shnei Alofim Tov Avo. Tov Avo is Or v'Choshech Mishtamshim Berbuvia. Avram Avinu started the 2,000 years of Torah. What's the purpose of Torah? To delineate what's Choshech and what's Or. You have Bechira. Hinei Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Hayom Es Hachayim V'Es Hatov V'Es Hamoves V'Es Hara. Rei Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Hayom Bracho Klala. To delineate what's a bracho, what's a klala. What's Or, what's Choshech. What's Chayim, what's Moves. What's Tov, what's Ra. That's what Torah does. You have free choice. Choose what you want. But know what you're choosing. Don't masquerade the Choshech as Or. And get confused that maybe the Or is Choshech. Avram Avinu started Shnei Alofim Torah. Torah is that which delineates what is good and what is bad clearly. All the other tzaddikim didn't have that clarity. And therefore they couldn't expose the Avodah Zarah for it, what it was, and therefore they couldn't break the tzlamim. Breaking tzlamim doesn't mean taking a hammer and breaking some porcelain image, because the person who made it and worshipped it can make another one. And 100 more. When I was a teenager in Masifta in Miami, our entertainment was to go to Lincoln Road, the big mall, and there was a Jews for Yoshka person there who handed out New Testaments in Yiddish and English and Hebrew to all of the elderly Yidden in Miami Beach to try to convert them. So we used to go there, I don't know how much L'Shem Shamayim, but it was good entertainment. And we took the, we stood in line, and we took as many New Testaments as we could from him, Beratzon. We thought we wanted to read it and eventually consider converting. And then we were in the midst of tearing them up in front of him, which did not excite him happily very much. And until we realized that we're not accomplishing anything. The guy had an unlimited supply. He was funded by the Baptists and by the other Christian churches. He had an unlimited supply of New Testaments. We could tear them up, and he could replace them faster than we could get rid of them. So it was futile. So breaking a tzelem doesn't mean breaking it physically. Breaking it means convincing the person who served it that he's not going to make another one. Convincing him that he's wrong. And to bring him back to Avodas Hashem, that's what breaking the tzlamim means. Since the other Gedolei Olam didn't have that clarity that Avram Avinu had, they were in the tkufa of Tov Avo. They couldn't break the tzlamim. The people, they could never convince them completely. Avram Avinu reached a level of brirus, of clarity, where he was able to break the tzlamim. He was able to expose them, to find them, not physically, but to expose them for what they really were. And once you can see this is Choshech and this is Or, you have a chance of being mashpia on somebody. But if it's all a bilbul in your mind, you don't know what's right, what's wrong. Your whole Yiddishkeit, your whole Torah is all mixed up and very, very short of anything that has any kind of form to it, because you haven't learned too much yourself. So how much could you be mashpia on somebody else? That's why the word lemor has two meanings. Normally, le'mor means to tell others. But in this week's Seder, in Pinchas, there's a pasuk, Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem le'mor. But the Moshe Rabbeinu told the Rabbanu Shalom, I want you to tell this over to some other people. He was speaking an intimate conversation with the Rabbanu Shalom. What's the le'mor there? So Mefarshim say, le'mor means clearly. Borer. It even hints to Torah Shebal Peh that when the Rabbanu Shalom gave the Torah, he gave it le'mor, with clarity. Not just the words that are in the Torah. There was an explanation. Moshe Rabbeinu understood clearly what he was being told. That's the le'mor. And there's no contradiction between those two interpretations, those two commentaries. What you understand clearly, you can give over to somebody else. What's not clear to you, you can't give over to somebody else. And clarity does not only include that you know the material. That's one aspect. You have to know what you're talking about. And the more you learn, and the bigger a Gavra Rabban, the bigger a Talmud Chacham, the more you can influence other people. And the less you know, the more things are hazy and not clear to you. How in the world can you be mashpi on somebody else and make it clear to them? But it's more than that. The more it's clear to you because your emunah is strong, your bitachon is strong, because you really believe it, then you can mashpi on somebody else. But if to you it's wishy-washy, you're not sure yourself, you haven't yet elevated yourself in Yiras Shamayim and emunah and bitachon by taka learning, by learning more and more, that's how you become a Yiras Shamayim. Torah, Meviyah, to all the other Midos Tovos. If you yourself are not a Gavra, then it's not clear to you. You're not an Adam Borer, not in your Hashkofes, not in your Yediyas. Then how much can you be Mashpi on somebody else and make them clear and make them make decisions if your whole Mahus is Besafik? So therefore, self-perfection is an investment that is needed before you can be makar of other people. Moshe Zocha, first you have to be Zocha, then you can be Mezakeh Harabe. You need to learn as much and become as big a Talmud Chacham as you can, and then not stop. Continue while you're being mashpi on others to learn for yourself. Never going to reach a level where you're perfect. So if you wait till that level, you'll never be mashpi on anybody. But at least when you have something, you're a gavra, then go out and then continue parallel with being mashlim yourself, at the same time being able to be mashlim others in a much greater way. There's a medrash, I think, that brings out both of these ideas. The medrash says, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Limedcha HaTorah Derech Eretz. Torah teaches you Derech Eretz. K'shiyasa Odom Mitzvah Hevi Oso Sobelev Sameach. When you do a mitzvah, you should do it with a happy heart. She'ilu have a yoda ruving. Shatora tichtov ala vayatzileu miyodam hayamolichu al kseifo v'rotzei tzol aviv. If Ruvain would have known that the Torah was going to write that he tried to save Yosef, he would have put him on his shoulders and run home to his father with him. The ilu have a yoda aron. Shatora tichtov ala Balibo. If Aaron would have known the Torah was going to record that when he saw Moshe Rabbeinu the first time and he heard that he was chosen to be the Goel Yisrael and not Aaron, that not like Moshe thought that Aaron would be slighted, but Balibo is happy in his heart. If he knew the Torah was going to record that, he would have come with a band, with a parade. The Ilu have a Yoda Boaz. If Boaz would have known that the Megillah was going to record what he gave to Rus, a little parched wheat, would have given her golos ptumim, the Medrash says, would have given her fat cows to eat, not some parched grain. The obvious question on this Medrash is, what these people were looking for PR? They would have known that this is going to be in the paper, in the paper, in the Torah. Then they would have done it differently. They knew that this was going to be publicized. They knew they were getting publicity. That's why they did it differently. That's Reuven and Aaron and Boaz. And beyond that, what's a Derech Eretz over here? Derech Eretz is something Beidon Lechaveiro. What does it have to do with doing a mitzvah Balev Sameach? The Rambam says that Derech Eretz is anything that promotes a functioning society. Therefore, Derech Eretz has many different meanings. Sometimes Derech Eretz means husband-wife relations. That's called Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz can mean Parnasa, Asakim, commerce. It's also Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz can also mean Midos Tovos. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. What's the common denominator between all these different meanings? All these things are necessary for a functioning society. If you don't have people, there is no society. So husband-wife relationships is Derech Eretz. It's the Derech Ha'aretz. It's the way to lead to a functioning society, to an Eretz. If you don't have an economy, you have no society. So economy is Derech Eretz. If you don't have Midos Tovos and people don't know how to live with each other, and they're at each other's throats, then you can't have a functioning society. So everything that promotes a functioning society is called Derech Eretz. I have two pshatim in this medrash. They both fit to what we're talking about. Let's start with the first one. What's Shiyasa Adam Mitzvah Hevi Oso Oso Belev Sameach? He should do it with a Lev Sameach. Ein Simcha Kahatoras HaSveikas. When can you really be happy about a mitzvah that you're doing? When you're sure about it. When you know it inside out. You know what you're doing is 100% what's supposed to be done. And you know why you're doing it. And you believe in it. Then you have tremendous simcha. If you're not sure and you have doubts, whether it's doubts about what you're doing is right or wrong, proper or improper, or you have doubts bichlal about mitzvahs and about Yerushalayim, then you can't really have a real Lev Sameach. Each of these situations, the person who did what he did had good reason to doubt maybe this wasn't what to do. Nine brothers disagreed with Reuven that Yosef should not be saved. He's a Rodef. And the best thing for Klal Yisrael and Netzach Netzachim is to get rid of this guy. And they sat as a Beza and they decided that. And Reuven knew that wasn't right. They were wrong. But he had reason to be doubtful. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm wrong. Had he known what the Torah was going to write and vindicate him, then he would have took him on his shoulders. He would have done the mitzvah in a way that reflected his brirus, his clarity. I know what I'm doing is right. There's no sveikus. But because it was sveikus, he did it in such a way that reflected his doubts. And it wasn't successful in the end. Aaron HaKohen, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself wasn't sure whether he's the right choice, Shlachno b'yad tishlach, Aaron had a right also to have sveikus. Not sure. Had he been 100% sure, not knowing even Moshe Rabbeinu's reservations, then he would have done it with a greater brirus, with a greater clarity. He would have come with a parade. He was happy in his heart. But it wasn't the same happiness if it was 100% clear, without any doubts. Boaz, for sure, had plenty of place to have doubts whether he should be Makariv this Goya, who married a Yid, intermarriage, in his own family. If she was Roy, to be a Gioris or not. So he for sure had Sveikus, especially Sveikus that got his connection to her. Had he not had any Sveikus, he would have dealt differently and it would have made a difference. If because Aaron had Sveikus, it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu's Bechira wasn't 100%. And therefore, what happened later on, had Moshe known for sure, had no Sveikus, had there been clarity, 100%, then Aaron wouldn't have had to speak to Paro. Moshe could have spoken to Paro. And the Sfarim say that if Moshe spoke to Paro, he would have let him go right away. The whole Tochnit, the whole Mahalach of Yetzias Mitzrayim was changed because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure, because he said, Shlachno b'yatishlach. And therefore there was a doubt over here. The same thing goes with Reuven. He didn't save Yosef in the end. He had Mechiras Yosef, and we're suffering from it, could be till today because of that. And the same thing goes with Boaz. Had Boaz been sure about Ruth, then maybe there would be no sveikus later on in Ruth's progeny, David HaMelech, where there was sveikus in his kashrus. Maybe those sveikus came because the ibrirus, because there wasn't clarity at the time that his Ima Shel Malchus, his great-great-grandmother, was misguided. So that's what the Medrash says. Limedcha Torah Derech Eretz. If you want to be mashpia on other people, if you want to make mitzvahs and Torah Derech Eretz, not just your own neches, but how it's going to affect the world, how it's going to affect others, then do it b'lev sameach, where it's possible. Bring yourself to the level where there are no doubts, where you're clear about what you're doing, where everything is 100% in your mind. And then the effect that that mitzvah will have on others is much greater than it has when it's not clear, when there are doubts. That's called Derech Eretz. The second pshat I was thinking in this medrash is when a person does a mitzvah to be yotzei the mitzvah for himself. So you do it. You do it, you yotzei, you do it with rei kavana, whatever. But you do it, you don't make a show out of it. But if you want to teach somebody else, I always give this example, it's probably an anachronism. Because probably some of you will not even know what I'm talking about. A woman wants a kasher a chicken. Okay? Salting, soaking. Chickens are the things that have heads and legs, which you probably never saw a chicken with heads and legs in your life. So you get everything kashered already. In fact, I knew of a gioris who came to learn in Neve, and her husband in Or Sameach after they got married. And they were just learning, you know, about Yiddishkeit more and more. And she went to buy meat in Mei Yesharim. And the butcher said to her, kasher or lo kasher? She couldn't believe it. She says, you're a man in Mei Yesharim. You're asking me if I want to buy not kosher meat? Right? How could you sell not kosher meat? Right? Do I look like a goya? Do I look like somebody that's going to buy nevelis and treifas? Why in the world are you offering me a choice? I figured I walk into Mei Yesharim, I'm getting glatt kosher meat without any shilas, and you're asking me if you want not kosher? What he meant was, do you want it kosher, or do you want to kosher it yourself? She never heard about koshering anything. Everything you get after it's already kosher. She never heard of the concept. It didn't exist. It wasn't too long ago. In any case, so a mother wants to teach her daughter how to kosher a chicken. If she does it for herself, so she salts it, soaks it, and finished. But with a daughter, she makes it much more demonstrative. She wants her to make an impression on her. She says, you see, this is salt. We're pouring the salt on the chicken. This is a pail of water. We're putting the chicken into the water. This is a chicken. You do it in a much more demonstrative way if you realize that you want to teach somebody else. If you're doing it for yourself, you do it. Limedcha Torah Derech Eretz, says Rabbi Yitzchak. Don't ever think that the mitzvahs you do for yourself, the learning you do for yourself, the mitzvahs, the madrigas that you reach are just for yourself. But you are an example to others. And the more of an example, the more mashpia you are, even if you're not out there being makar of anybody. But if you do a mitzvah with a lev sameach and people see the lev sameach, not you do it and you have a lev sameach. Kshayasa mitzvah yase osaba lev sameach. Not ye elo lev sameach. Do the mitzvah in a way that people can see the lev sameach. You've reached a level where there's no doubts, where you're a gavra, and you realize that you, by example, are being mashpia. Every mitzvah you do, every bit of Torah that you learn is hashpa and kiru. There's no conflict. You sit in a base medrash, you become a greater person. Then that in itself is mashpia on the world. They see a gavra rabbi, they see a person who's ma'amin in Torah, makes an impression on them. Whether you know it or not, whether it's conscious or not. So limedcha Torah derech eretz, kshiyasa other mitzvah, have they also saw Belev Sameach? Do it in a way it's Lev Sameach. Because if these people had known that the mitzvah they were doing was not private, the Torah was going to publicize it. And every year, at least, when they lay in that parsha, people were going to learn from them. They weren't just doing the mitzvah for themselves. They were teaching what they did to others. And others would learn. And there'd be parsha sheets in the shul to read during davening and during Kriyas HaTorah. People be learning lessons from these people. So they would have done it, Belev Sameach. Aaron was Sameach Belibo. Torah's Meit. L'Rach of the Sameach Belibo. We would have come with a parade so people would be able to be impressed more. Would have been made more of an impression. Would be more demonstrative. And so too with Reuven and so too with Boaz. So from this medrash we learn that when a person does a mitzvah, he should do it with clarity. Belev Sameach. Because then, Taka, it can have an effect. Then the results of that mitzvah are stronger. And then you can talk to mashpia on other people because you're a different person. Because you're a person who's clear. You're a person who's big. You're a person who his whole tzura is mashpia on other people. That's the Derech Eretz. And the Medrash ends, V'hayom Eliyahu Melech HaMashiach Kosvam. Kisvei HaKodesh haven't finished. Tanakh is still being written in Shemayim. And we're all part of that. Some have a pasuk, some have a perek, some have a whole sefer, could be. They're based. I'm sure that everybody who is part of Shevet Levi, those who are Yoru Mishpatecho LeYaakov, those who are Mevater on a lot of the Olam Hazeh, for the sake of teaching and learning and supplying Klal Yisrael with Ruchnius, have at least a pasuk there. At least. Many of you have whole parshios. So v'hayom Eliyahu Melech HaMashiach Kosvam v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chosem Al Yodam. And the Rabbanu Shlom seals it. And those Kisvei HaKodesh will be Nizgale La'asid Lavo. And you'll realize that you weren't doing just a mitzvah. You weren't just learning for yourself. You were learning in a way that the whole world will learn from it. You'll also be in that way, not just a mushba, but a mashpia at the same time. And you won't be able to say, Ilu HaVeYodah. Well, if I knew that, I would have done it differently. Because I told you. And I'll be there to be meyed that I told you. So it's not an excuse. Aaron may have an excuse. And Reuven had an excuse. And Boaz had an excuse. They didn't know this medrash. But you know it. You have no excuse. So when you do, and you learn, and you steig, understand that it's not just for yourself. But it's because you are an example to others. Because it prepares you to be able to be a greater mashpia, to give of what you have. And if you have more, you can give more. And if you're a bigger person, you're mashpia more. And some of that happens automatically. It's not even what you give over in an active way. Sometimes it happens what happens with osmosis and happens in a passive way. So there's absolutely no conflict between Moshe Zacha and Zikas Harabim. There's no difference between steiging and making yourself a bigger Talmud Chacham, and yourself a bigger Yirei Shamayim, and going out and mashpia on other people. Because when you understand that both of them complement and supplement each other, and both are needed for either one to be effective, then you'll be able to put them together and balance them properly, and understand you're working for the same goal at both times. You're not doing something that's conflicting. You're doing something that works towards the same goal, whether you're sitting in a base medrash and steiging for yourself, or you're out there being makariv other people. Okay. I have what left over from this year to give you next year. So I am able to self-perpetuate my shiur here. Okay. I would very much like to hear what Rabbi Lazarus has to say. So I wish you all hatzlocha, both in your zocha and in your mezake es harabim, and all of us should be zoche to have many, many psukim and parshios and those kisvei hakodesh that we nizgale b'mheirav yomenu, the diaskol tzedek b'mheirav yomenu.